anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Barker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, and thank you for the fact that you're our Heavenly Father who teaches our hands to war. You teach us how to go into spiritual battle day by day and to come out successfully as you teach us to put the spiritual weapons you've placed in our hands to work. Help us to be believers who recognize the warfare we deal with day by day and anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer that we would be the prayerful people you've called us to be. It will be the believers grounded in your word, full of your word, daily reading and meditating on your word and walking in its wisdom, and that we would be the obedient people you've called us to be, boldly obeying and doing that which you've called us to do as the people of God. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to do that, and thank you for the victory we have as we walk in obedience to your word and as we trust in you. We love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you of the project that we've gotten started with, and we're encouraging, if your group hasn't plugged in yet, we invite you to do so, a project called Praying in the Garden. Urban Family Communications is encouraging church groups or prayer groups or whatever groups. It could be family groups that come together, but we're inviting you to come together in the Garden of Hope found at 100 Park Gate here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We're inviting groups to sign up to be there at 6 o'clock, and our goal is to finish out the month every single day having a group in the garden praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, praying for the upcoming election, and praying for our local community, praying for our mayor, our city alderman, the law enforcement, and praying for our communities and for healing, for grace, for mercy, all those sorts of things. So if you'd like to sign up, simply call us at this number, 662-844-5036, extension 381. We have a number of churches and groups that have already been a part of this project thus far, and it's been going very well. If you still will want to sign up and plug in, please do. Again, call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to plug you and your group in as well. I want to remind you once again of the great ministry, 8 Days of Hope. Steve Tiber was with us yesterday, and he was explaining about the great work that they're doing. Remember that last year, massive flooding happened in South Carolina, and of course, 8 Days of Hope has been working in southern Louisiana as well, reaching out to the many needs because of the flooding that has happened there. But they have coming up both the trips that will be in South Louisiana and in South Carolina as well. Several months back, South Carolina had large and widespread flooding there as well, and many families had little or no flood insurance and are still waiting to rebuild their homes. 8 Days of Hope is inviting you to come to Black River, South Carolina, to serve those who feel like they have been forgotten. For 8 days during the month of October, October 8th, thousands of volunteers from around the country will arrive to help hundreds of homeowners rebuild their homes and they'll be doing it for free. The goal is simple: to use the gifts which God has blessed us with to aid those who are in need of hope. Consider joining others in this major rebuilding effort. Bring the whole family. This is a family-friendly missions opportunity. Lodging and food are provided. Carpenters, roofers, and anyone with construction experience is needed. However, there's a job for everyone, so don't feel like you have to be a highly skilled individual. God can use you whatever your skill level might be. To find out more, you can register online and just visit 8daysofhope.com. Again, 8daysofhope.com. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Mr. Paul Isaac. He's the president of the ministry Save the Storks. Mr. Isaac, how are you today?
I'm fine. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Hour of Intercession. And we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And plus, we're privileged to have one of your buses here with us today. Brother Michael's outside. He's the driver, your driver that's with us, and he's been here for a while and will be with us for, about another hour and a half or so. But we've had a number of people to come through and tour the bus, the beautiful mobile unit that you all have brought to be with us on the campus for today. But as we start off, Mr. Isaac, would you tell our listeners about the ministry of Save the Storks and who you are and what you do?
Yes, that'd be great. A few years ago, a friend of mine, he's actually the CEO now of Save the Storks. He's a young man named Joe Baker. He was, going on a missions trip. And how I got to know Joe was I had run for office in Ohio based on this issue of life and the sanctity of life. And having worked with another organization called the Navigators for 17 years and run for public office and being pro-life as a young man growing up and adopted a little girl as a member of our family. We have three other children, so we have four total children. Pro-life and the sanctity of life was something near and dear to me. But I read an article on Facebook one day. It was called "How Some Young People with a Van Are Changing the Pro-Life Movement." And as I read the article, I was captivated by what these young people were doing and how they were accomplishing it, and with the tone that they were accomplishing it in. And as someone who had been involved in politics at the state level in Ohio, I realized that sometimes politics are good for certain things, but a lot of times it can leave you jaded to see what actually gets changed and what actually is kind of used as a kind of an issue just to rally support and never really see any change come from who's ever in power. So when I read this article, I thought I'd reach out to these young people and see if I could help in any way. And I found myself eating lunch the next day with a young man named Joe Baker. And I said, Joe, tell me your story. Tell me about this group called Save the Storks. And he said, well, Paul, I was on a missions trip in New York City in front of one of the most notorious abortion clinics. And as I was standing there, the person who brought me simply to observe, all I was doing was observing women walk into this abortion clinic. She went into a coffee shop to get a cup of coffee. And as she went in, I found myself standing there alone. And a young lady named Samantha came up and said to me, I'm here for my appointment, thinking that I was an abortion clinic worker. And he said, I hadn't been prepared. This is Joe Baker Sanders here. I hadn't been prepared for what I was supposed to say. I was merely there to observe. And I was able to fumble out the words, I don't work here at this abortion clinic, but I have some friends here that have some free resources, and there's a van parked around the corner that has an ultrasound machine, and you can get a free ultrasound and some free resources if you're willing to board that van. And she said, yes. And I was so stunned, he said, that she said yes, that I walked her over to the van. She got on the van, and Joe said, I began to pray. And 45 minutes later, this young woman came down off that van, and she was typing in numbers into her cell phone. And Joe said to her, who are you calling? And she said, I'm calling my mom. I'm telling her she's going to be a grandma. I decided to keep my baby. All from seeing an image of that life that she was carrying inside of her without a single picket, no sign, no graphic images, just a baby. And he said he came to a realization there in his 20s. Two realizations. The first one was, we need to do this in every city in the United States. This is powerful. And number two We need to do it with excellence. We need a young girl to feel safe and to feel special when she walks on these buses. And so we started the name of this organization that Save the Storks. What we found is that a lot of people who are pro-choice seem to be about an environmental cause. They want to save something. And so a lot of people will see us wearing our T-shirts that say Save the Storks on them, and they'll come up and say, listen, I've heard about the spotted owl and the whales, but who's killing storks? And so we tend to disarm people with the title of our organization, but we really want to approach this injustice of abortion, not with politics and not with rhetoric, but with love and compassion and a brokenness for the woman who finds herself in a situation that she feels is her only choice is to have an abortion. So that's the story of how Save the Storks was founded.
Hmm. That's a powerful story, a powerful, powerful testimony. Well, and so you started off with one individual in one van then?
Well, there was two young men, and they kind of caught the vision, and the Lord led that young man somewhere else after a few years of being with the organization. And Joe and his wife toured the United States in a gutted van, the thing that we use now, casting a vision for what Save the Storks could be, and really not having a van out there, but they toured the United States and met with people and went to Christian concerts and started raising money and raising awareness of a new way and a fresh way to kind of come alongside women and help them in their time of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We've decided, and Joe was very good about this, as he looked at this issue of abortion, we decided it's not a political issue. This is not an issue of left or right or Republican or Democrat. This is a human rights issue in the same way that the Holocaust was a human rights issue.
That's right.
And many other issues that we've seen, the issue of in the 1800s of slavery, this was not a Democrat or Republican thing. This was basic human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take, instead of an approach of anger, which kind of can stifle a person's ingenuity and innovation, we take a position of brokenness and love for that woman, and that helps us come up with solutions to meet her in her need and then engage her with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we think that God wants to use this issue as a platform to share the gospel of Jesus.
Okay. Well, Paul, I tell you what, I want to take a moment just to pray for our listeners to really open their minds and their hearts as you share further. We're coming up on a break, but I'm going to say a word of prayer before the break. But on the other side, I want you to share a little bit more about specifically both what you do, but why believers need to get involved and get behind the great work that you do. Lord, thank you for the ministry of Save the Storks. Thank you for Brother Paul that's on with us today. And thank you, Lord, for Brother Michael that's brought the vehicle here, the Save the Storks mobile unit. And Lord, thank you for the vision behind this powerful and very vital ministry. Lord, anoint the ministry of Save the Storks. Open the minds and the hearts and the understanding of every listener to really understand the need for us as the church to rise up and to, in a very aggressive way, stand for life and help to bring to end the tragedy of abortion in this nation and in our culture. Help us to be a people committed to standing for life and boldly standing for life. And Lord, open our eyes and view the fact that we live in a culture that seems to think that killing babies is no big deal. But tragically, they're so wrong. They're so wrong. Help us to see and be the church that you call us to be, the church that chooses life and stands for life and helps to end the tragedy of abortion. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is the president of Save the Storks, Paul Isaac. We'll be right back after this break.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Let me say this from the beginning. Anytime God is calling us to do something that we don't want to do, He has to get stern with us before we'll ever move. Whatever that looks like and however that plays out, one thing is certain. God will never force you to do anything. Think about it. In terms of your personal relationships, you don't want a relationship with someone because they feel obligated. You want a relationship with them because they want to be in one. It's the same way with the Father. He wants sons and daughters who want a love relationship with Him above obedience. We don't obey because we have to. We obey because we get to and we want to. Choose to join Him in the work of saving the lost because we love Him and we are devoted to Him. He'll never force you, but He'll definitely compel you to come. Choose wisely, my friend. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. God has allowed me to have many friends who are in various entertainment industries. One of the things that is a common denominator for all of them is that they can't forget their godly upbringing. They remember their days of being at church every time the door opened. But there are a few of them who struggle with using their gifts to build up the kingdom or continuing a secular flow. One of the things that is undeniable is the call of God on your life. No matter where you go or what you do, you will know when God calls you. It's not going to be something that you can deny or argue, or in many cases, even run from. So I'll say this, don't continue to pretend as though you don't feel the tug or hear the call. Answer the call. Doing so will set your eternal destiny on a different course, and you'll be surprised at the peace that comes from giving God a yes. Is He calling you? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Of Fred Hammond, the song I Yield. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Mr. Paul Isaac, the president of the ministry Save the Storks, a ministry that is involved with a great movement and ministry of providing mobile pregnancy units for the cause of Standing for Life. Brother Paul, can you tell us a little bit more specifically both about the ministry and also some of the things that make the mobile pregnancy unit different from a pregnancy clinic that's standing? Would you tell us the difference there?
Yes. We try to partner, and our model has been to partner with pregnancy centers around the United States. Mm-hmm. Those are the heroes. Those are the people that are the boots on the ground, the people in the community that understand that culture and what and how to communicate with those people. And so, Save the Storks, we view ourselves not as the heroes. We view ourselves in a different way. We just simply give the heroes the tools that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so a mobile medical unit that has an ultrasound. By the way, ultrasound did not exist at the time of Roe v. Wade. There was no ability to see a picture of what was going on inside of a woman, the life that it represents. And we believe that's a game changer, especially with the new technology where you can see babies smile and sucking their thumbs and things like that. So that's a game changer in this whole challenge and this tragedy called abortion. So when a girl sees the image of her baby, just tends to bond her with that life that's inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
But as we partner with these pregnancy centers, what happens is, you know, Planned Parenthood and that group has an unlimited amount of marketing and a budget. And a lot of times they're involved in the schools in the area, and they'll always tell those young people to have a plan if they should get pregnant. And then that plan will always include Planned Parenthood. So what we want to do is, in a kind and loving way, we want to be a bridge from that abortion clinic or that school or that at-risk area, a bridge to the brick-and-mortar facility that is that pregnancy resource center in their community. A lot of times those young people, those young women don't know that such an organization exists that will care for her, that will give her prenatal vitamins and diapers and formula and parenting classes. They're there, but they don't have the marketing. Mm-hmm. They don't have the vehicle to get on that girl's radar. And Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood does. So as we look at what Jesus did for us, he didn't wait for us to get to him. We couldn't get to him. He came to us. Mm-hmm. We want to go to those places where the girls need us. And that a lot of times that can happen with a mobile medical unit, with providing free pregnancy testing, providing free ultrasounds, oftentimes providing STD testing, but using that issue as a way to get in her space and to talk about how much God loves her and has a plan for her life.
Okay. Well, before we move forward, I want to ask if you'll take time to pray for our listeners in this regard. You know, again, sadly, we live in a culture that just you take, for example, you look at the landscape of the upcoming presidential election. Well, the sad reality is you have one candidate who is committed to abortion right up until the moment of before the baby's born. And yet, again, so much great support behind her. And that's tragic. But would you just pray for believers to really open their minds and their hearts to see things from God's point of view rather than the cultural perspective? Mm-hmm. Or even their own party's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, we are reminded in the midst of this tragedy about how much you love us. And as people of the kingdom, Lord, we pray. I just feel like you're telling me that and reminding me of the passage in the Old Testament that says there were once men and women of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Lord, we pray for the people that are listening to this radio program. We pray that they would be like men and women of Issachar, that they would understand the culture, that they would understand this election cycle and the repercussions that will result, that they would understand all of that, Lord, and that they would know what to do. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide them and guide us as we try to reach abortion-vulnerable women with the love and truth of the gospel. In the same way that you met people, Lord, the same way that you met the woman at the well, in the same way that you met Zacchaeus, the same way that you met Paul on the way to Damascus, Saul at the time, the same way you met Peter, Lord, you were full of grace and truth. Help us to be that today. Help us. Our light to shine in the midst of this darkness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Paul, can you tell me now this? You started out with one single van. How many vans do you have now?
We have, as a matter of fact, that's a fun story. As I met that day for Chinese food with Joe Baker, a young man, he said, I have a dream to be in every NFL city in 5 years. In NFL City, he was just saying every major city in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a year, maybe a year ago, we had already had contracts for over 32. I think there's 32 NFL teams.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have over 20 buses on the road. We have signed contracts with 41 pregnancy centers. So coming to you, you know, to your area soon, there's going to be a Stork bus. And God has blessed the work of our hands. He's blessing the pregnancy resource centers. And so we're growing rapidly. And so I would say where we have maybe a little bit under 25 that are out on the road, we have the rest of those are in some form of fundraising or production.
That's great. That's great. So you'll soon have 41 buses out there doing the ministry of a mobile pregnancy clinic.
That's our prayer. Yes, sir.
That's good. That's good. And let me say, I want to say to all of our listeners, if you happen to be in the Tupelo community and you want to come by our address at 107 Parkgate, there will be a pregnancy mobile unit bus here for another hour here. And so if you want to come by and tour it, Michael will be glad to let you come on board and take a look at it. It's a beautiful pregnancy clinic on wheels, and we'd be glad for you to come by. Brother Paul, I want to ask this too. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak with and visit with Michael for a period of time since he's been here on our campus. He shared that there was a ministry that has purchased a bus in Ohio, and I think he said they serve four different college campuses. Is that correct?
Yes, and I think he's talking about Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, okay. Tell our listeners why that's so strategic and important.
Yes, this particular group is thinking, I mentioned in our prayer, men and women of Issachar, they realize that the university is almost ground zero in this struggle for life. You know, young women and young men and the culture of sexuality on the campus. And because of that, there's men and women having sex outside of God's plan for marriage, a number of unplanned pregnancies. And because of that, a number of young women are being led to the option of abortion. Mm-hmm. And so if we can park a Stork bus there across the street, if we can have a presence there where they can know, hey, I can go get a free pregnancy test. And when that moment happens, that girl realizes, hey, I've got an issue here, and I'm confronted with this issue. Who better to have her discuss that issue with than a young, winsome Christ follower who understands the culture and wants to point her not toward the Planned Parenthood and not toward the abortion clinic, but toward the people that truly love her and love the life that's inside of her. So that's why they're choosing to be near the campus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So going to campuses is such a very strategic and an important goal for ministries to really reach the target group that you're really pursuing, right?
Yes, and we're praying with another group that is located in Las Vegas, and we have not. I don't think we've signed the contract with them. So this is just something that we're praying about. There's a group very interested in parking one at the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV. And one of the reasons there is because there's such a high amount of the sex slave trade or girls that are being paid to have sex, and they're going through college by doing that. And so we want to rescue those girls. You know, this issue of trafficking is another justice issue. Mm-hmm. That we're trying to maybe, you know, consider how does God want Storks to play in that. We want to reach those girls at that campus. How are we going to do that? We're not sure yet. We're praying about the right way. But yeah, the campus is a strategic place to be with a mobile medical unit.
Okay. Well, you know, I had the privilege of having Ms. Beverly Johnson on broadcast several weeks back, and she's the director of three pregnancy clinics, one of which is a mobile unit. And I would mention her story was that she had a worker from a Planned Parenthood to come to her clinic and for service. But at the same time, she shared how busy they were. And she mentioned she made a trip down there and saw lines and lines of women lined up to go into the abortion clinic. And she was very moved. And after that, their ministry ended up purchasing a mobile unit And now they go and park outside the abortion clinic, and they save lots of babies by parking at the abortion clinic then. So that's the kind of thing that I guess more and more as mobile units get out there, they can go right there to the front lines of the battle right there amongst other places right outside of abortion clinics as well.
Yes, I totally agree. We what we're about at Save the Storks is about not about the politics. We're not about the rhetoric. What we want to be about is saving lives. In the same way that the Underground Railroad was about freeing slaves, and in the same way that the Hiding Place was about freeing Jews from the Holocaust, we want to be about saving lives in the way that Jesus would do it. We think that the pregnancy centers are in the position to do that with a mobile medical unit.
That's great. That's great. Well, Brother Paul, I'm going to ask if you'll comment on this important point, too. Now, I think of this, for example, as we speak. There, for example, may be lots of pastors and other church leaders that might be listening today. What is very tragic is that you have lots of pastoral leaders and other leaders in the church that they don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is, couldn't point to their closest pregnancy clinic and don't know what they do, which is so sad because the fact is sooner or later, every pastor will probably have a need to be able to refer a young lady to a pregnancy clinic. But comment on the fact, on the tragedy of the fact that so many pastors are not involved in this outreach, in this fight.
That's it is sad. You know, in Christianity we have trends, and sadly, the issue of pro-life or the sanctity of life is not trendy. You know, you tell people in our culture that you're pro-life and you don't get invited to the cool parties, but if you tell somebody you're about, you know, building wells in Africa or in needy places, or if you're against human trafficking, you know, you're cool. And those issues are near and dear to God's heart as well. Mm-hmm. But a lot of pastors are afraid that they'll drive people away if they talk out against this in some ways. And I'm not saying that's all pastors, and not in any way do I intend to imply that. What I want us to do is, as people of God, as men, and this is men are created to take care and to protect the women and children in our sphere of influence. And we actually really need the pastors to call men back to that role of biblical manhood and fighting fiercely and with love, but for protection of those women entrusted to us. And I know that doesn't sound, even as I say that, I realize that that's not trendy even to talk like that. But God would have us as men to step up into our roles and to speak out against, in the same way that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a voice in the German church that spoke out against the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. We must figure out a way with love and compassion, raise awareness to what's going on and to point women. Because quite frankly, if Christian young women would stop having abortions, I think Planned Parenthood would go out of business. So we need to talk about this in our church. We need to talk about this issue.
That is so true. That is so true. And I tell you what, we're coming up on a break once again. But on the other side of the break, specifically, I want to ask if you lift up in prayer our pastors and leaders in the church and men as well in our homes too. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Paul Isaac, the president of the ministry Save the Storks, a ministry that provides mobile pregnancy units that reach out and really are playing a vital role in standing for life and ending abortion. We'll be right back after this break.
Today's Urban Woman.
Today's Urban Woman is about empowering herself, empowering her family to empower our future. We have a wealth of opportunities here in America. There are no excuses. Everyone should be able to empower themselves, educate themselves, and be stewards of our society. Today's Urban Woman, here to stay, and we're moving forward, never looking backward. I'm Deneen Borelli, and I am today's Urban Woman.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We make a big deal about the people whose faces we see on TV and in movies, or people who sing songs or hold public office. But Dr. Tony Evans says we ought to have the same kind of admiration for people who do something that's not on that list. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
We live in a day of the red carpet. We live in a day when people want the autographs of stars. People want to be a celebrity or chase a celebrity or group, be a groupie of a celebrity. But in God's economy, in God's kingdom, God would say, don't seek the autographs of celebrities, seek the autographs of servants. The disciples were arguing one day who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus had to explain to them in Mark chapter 10, the greatest among you will be your servant. That greatness in God's kingdom comes through servanthood, not celebrityship. Because the thing that would mark that we really understand who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do would be our servanthood, not our celebrityship. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Servanthood is to humble oneself and act for the benefit of someone other than you in the name of Christ.
Learn more about the blessing of servanthood in Dr. Evans' series, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to Forever Jones, the song Musical Revival. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind our listeners about the important outreach that Urban Family and American Family Radio and Eric Horner Ministries is involved in. It's an outreach reaching out to those who defend our freedom. It's our opportunity to say thank you to those who've sacrificed so much in our military armed forces. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. You can help say thanks to our soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell by getting involved with this great outreach. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know that we're proud of them and we appreciate them. Donations for fuel are needed to reach the goal. 100% goes towards blessing our troops in this regard. To get involved, you can go to tankfulloflove.com. Again, that's tankfulloflove.com. Or you can call and donate by calling this number, 1-877-968-3742. Again, 1-877-968-3742. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest today is Mr. Paul Isaac. He's the president of the mobile pregnancy unit ministry called Save the Storks. Paul, I wanted to ask if you would, as we start off this last segment, would you pray for pastors and leaders in the church, and specifically also for men? You know, one of the tragedies, one of the many tragedies surrounding this issue is many people don't realize that though people often say that this is a woman's issue and it's about women's rights and things, many people don't realize that many times men are the engines behind so many abortions, tragically. Many times you have a woman that's either on the fence, not sure, considering keeping her baby, not sure, or sometimes she wants to keep it, but there's a man in the background sometimes telling her, you're going to get an abortion. And sadly, because of the way our culture is, men can stay in the background. They can stay hidden and often get what they want, but that doesn't sound like a woman's right being coming through at all to me. But the sad reality is our culture has created an environment where that can happen. So would you pray for our spiritual leaders and leaders in the church, and specifically also really pray for men?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just in so much need of you in our country.
Thank you, Lord.
We need a revival for men. We pray, God, as we think about the illustration that I learned as a young man about drawing a circle and praying that revival would begin in that circle and then stepping into that, I pray that men, Christian men all over this nation right now, that in history we will look back to this day and we could potentially pinpoint it back to this time, this radio station's call to prayer for men in our country, that we would step into the role that you created us to be as men. Give us a sense of what it means to be a man after God's heart.
Yes.
That even though we're you know, frail in some ways and broken, that God, you called a man, David, a man after your own heart, that we would live a lifestyle of repentance. I pray that pastors would again begin to preach in such a way that would call men to be men. I pray that there would be a masculinization of the movement of Christianity in our country, not at any expense of women, but that men would be called to step into the role and to lead the way and to not be passive. We see in the word that the first sin of Adam was a sin of passivity. He just went along instead of saying no. Lord, may we be men of integrity, men of purity, that our pastors would call out young men and older men to live in such a way that we would be men not viewing women as objects but as valuable sisters and mothers and daughters of you, that we would not, that we would be able to put to death the desire of sex outside of your place that you have for it, that we would honor them, that we would be men of purity and men of accountability. And God, I pray that you would help us to also be protectors of the innocent, especially as it relates to this issue of abortion, that men would say, no, that's not what we're going to do. I'll step up and be a man. I'll do whatever it takes, because this is a life that God made, not just the two of us. Yes. God is the author of life. God, please call us back to this. Lord, may it start with me. May it start with Pastor. I just pray that you would just do that today. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the last few minutes that we have, Brother Paul, I want to ask if you would first tell our listeners, how would you like for the church and spiritual leaders and just for the church as a whole to pray as well as support a ministry and work alongside a ministry like Save the Storks?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So the first thing I would do I think we should find out where the local pregnancy center is, the pro-life pregnancy centers in our community. Mm-hmm. Come alongside them, volunteer, you know, figure out a way to support them mm-hmm. in any way, using the gifts and talents that God has used, that has given you. That'd be one way. I think another way is just go on the web and find SaveTheStorks.com. It's SaveTheStorks, SaveTheStorks.com. You know, the stork is that little imagery. It's non-political. It's not an elephant or a donkey. It's that thing that we watched Dumbo growing up, the cartoon that brings life into the world. It's that fictional character. That's what we're about, saving the thing that brings life into the world, the mom. You know, we're focused on moms and saving them from this tragedy. So visit SaveTheStorks.com. Go like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram and Pinterest and Snapchat, you know, all those places. We're all over that. And share this message, because we're trying to share the message of love and compassion and action. And another way, it's tangible, because a lot of people say, you know, I don't know what to do. I want to do more than that. It's interesting. The Bible says in Matthew, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. Mm-hmm. And if God should lead you to give to the ministry of Save the Storks, you can find that at SaveTheStorks.com, how to do that. But, you know, where we find God really moves us, we probably will give toward that in our resources. So, mm-hmm. and that's laying up treasures in heaven. So if God would lead you to do that, we ask you prayerfully consider that. As we have figured out a metric that the average stork bus, what it costs to get on the road, mm-hmm. and the amount of saves that baby can make a year. Mm-hmm. That the average amount of saves, that's $30 a month. $30 mm-hmm. a month can save a stork, one woman a year, mm-hmm. from the effects of and the tragedy of abortion. So if God should lead you to do that, mm-hmm. God has led thousands of people to do that, and we're growing and we're moving out into many more cities, and we'd ask that you consider that and just come alongside us in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So definitely our listeners can obviously pray for God to really bless and prosper the work of Save the Storks, but also giving financially is a way to really, in a very tangible way, get involved with the great work you're doing too. Now, do you use volunteers with Save the Storks as well?
Yeah, the volunteers that we use out in the field, out in the places like in Mississippi and California, and all those, we use those through the pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. So those type of people that are winsome and loving, you know, we don't ever want a stork bus to be used with, you know, political signs or graphic images of babies. Mm-hmm. Those things may be true. And does God hate abortion? Yes, he does. But we want those volunteers that love young women and that love those young men, that will meet them with the love of Jesus. If that's you, if that's the kind of person you are, then the volunteers that in that way can be used at that local pregnancy center with that stork van. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if someone's listening and they're just wanting more information about both Save the Storks, but also just pregnancy centers as a whole, how would you advise that person to really become more informed?
I would say the one way to do it is to go and find us on Facebook, go to our website, and we can begin engaging you in what's in your community, how you can be a part of that. There's all kinds of information on our website and blogs and stories about how God's using different pregnancy centers and different people and their stories. So that'd be a way at first to find out more information is go to our website, SaveTheStorks.com.
Okay. And if someone's listening also, and for example, as it relates to the way Save the Storks functions, like if someone says they would really like to see a mobile unit to come and serve their community, is that something they're in position to help make happen?
That's a great question. We would definitely want to talk to that person. mm-hmm. Anybody that has that passion that says, and by the way, there are those people around the country who say, what can we do to get a stork bus in, let's say, Tupelo?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start that conversation, because great things can happen with just one person that mm-hmm. feels that call. That's happening right now in Houston, where somebody said, I can do something, and they're out, and God is using them to raise money to get a stork bus in Houston. That's coming soon. We're going to get there. Because God's all, he's about that kind of thing. And if you say, well, that's such a big, big thing. Well, we serve a big God.
That's
he
right.
can do great things through people.
Mm-hmm. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So a starting point is a person doesn't need to say that's too big of a project. What they should do is just get in touch with you then, right?
You know, exactly. When I was we were adopting a little girl, I remember thinking, Lord, how could I afford this? And God said to me one night, not in an audible voice, but I knew God was speaking to me in the middle of the night as I was laying there awake. My wife was asleep next to me. I said, how can I afford this, God? And God said, you're asking the wrong question. Ask, is this what I want you to do? You wrestle with that and get back with me. So anybody that's wrestling, how can I be part of getting a historic bus in Tupelo, or how can I get a historic bus to Kansas City? Don't ask that. Ask, is this what I want you to do? Mm-hmm. Take one step at a time. God will provide the way. Mm-hmm. God wants you to have a historic bus there. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We'll get that's a historic bus to Tupelo. We'll get a historic bus to Kansas City.
That's right. That's right. And that's such a powerful and important point to remember, that we serve a Heavenly Father with a bottomless bank account. So
that's exactly right.
The issue is not how much will it cost. The issue is what does God want?
That's right.
And when we determine what the Lord wants, then that's we can go from there. So again, so basically they can get in touch with you and begin the conversation of how to begin to move in that direction. But you all work with individuals or groups as they look at pursuing that possibility then, correct?
Yes, we do. And if someone would like to get in touch with me directly, I'm just paul@savethestorks.com. But we do have a contact page there at the website that they could fill out as well and a comment, and we'll get them to the right people. But, yes, they can contact us.
Okay, and where's the headquarters of your ministry?
We're in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Colorado Springs. But you have buses in several states right now, correct?
We have buses in California down to Georgia, all the way up to Massachusetts, and all points in between.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much, Brother Paul, for being on with us. And certainly we want to encourage every single listener to pray much for the ministry of Save the Storks. And, again, pray for God to raise up more either ministries like Save the Storks, or pray for God to ask him if he wants you, whoever you might be as you're listening, to help bring a stork, Save the Stork bus to work in your community as well. Thank you so much, Brother Paul, for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Father, we thank you again for the ministry, the great ministry of Save the Storks, and thank you for other ministries like it out there that are helping to bring the message of life to local communities and places that are, in many instances, right on the front lines of standing for life and ending abortion. Help us all to be a people committed to what's important to your heart, standing for life and standing for those babies. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest has been Paul Isaac, the president of Save the Storks. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.